Welcome back, everybody, to the Gaming Careers Podcast. I think now episode 57. We've never really counted the episode numbers, but might be something nice to do as we approach 100. And some huge news dropping literally hours before recording this podcast or live streaming this podcast about Elon Musk buying out Twitter. It seems to be becoming more and more official as we go forward, but there's certainly some reports that it's gone through now. So we're going to be covering that in great detail. Really keen to get everyone's opinions on that in chat. But first, let's meet up with our co-host from across the ocean. Ben, how are you? It's been a couple of weeks since we last spoke. You had a bit of illness in between. How are you feeling now?
I'm good, man. It's been a while. We've been trying to get back to this and do it regularly. Finally, we're back today. I was sick last week, and Pete's also been traveling, so it's been tough. But I'm all healed up now, thankfully. So fingers crossed, we should be good to roll this out for a while. But today is crazy. I mean, I think you literally had to change the thumbnail and title and everything like an hour before we started, Pete, because this info literally just came out today.
That's the nice thing about doing a live show as well, is being able to react to things like this. If everyone could just make sure that all the news comes out Monday, you know, afternoon time for me in the UK, it gives me enough time to redo the thumbnail. But yeah, it's a little bit of a different topic. I mean, not technically really live stream focused, but because this show is, you know, for content creators now, you have to be more than just a live streamer. I think Twitter potentially having a new owner and somebody is, you know, as split opinions as Elon Musk, I think that is major news, and there's going to definitely be opinions on either side as to whether it's good or whether it's bad, but we'll get into all that. But first, let's cover all the other little bits of news just to make sure that we keep on top of everything in the show. First up, some updates from YouTube. Do you want to kick us off, Ben?
Sure. Yeah. So we've been gone for a couple weeks now, and there's been a lot of YouTube insider videos that have come out about platform updates they're making to YouTube. So it's basically four total videos they've put out with new feature updates and context on those. The first one I think that you have here, Pete, this one came out back on April 5th. So it's been a bit of time on this one. But the key features they announced in this video were that they're adding a sorting option on the YouTube video page to sort by content type between shorts, live streams, and videos, which is nice, at the expense of removing the sort by oldest feature. That hasn't actually happened yet, to my understanding, but that's what they're planning to do when they announced this originally.
Yeah, we've got the super blurry screenshot. That isn't my live stream. That is just the screenshot that they share in the YouTube video. So two screenshots from a mobile layout showing now that you can filter when you're on somebody's channel page by videos, shorts, and live. And a lot of people have been asking about this, haven't they? Their main frustration with shorts is that it's going in the same place as videos and it kind of looks messy. And this is complaints from both viewers and creators. I've certainly felt the same way. It's like, I don't want to make shorts because then if somebody goes to my channel page, goes to the video tab, then they're seeing both shorts and proper video. So this is the first step from YouTube to kind of address that. And I think a lot of people thought this would be the way that they would do it, you know, a drop down menu or separate playlists or something like that. So yeah, this is the screenshot from the video. Again, apologies for it not being full quality, but This is rolling out, you said, Ben, slowly.
Yeah, I don't think they've actually pushed it yet because you'll see in some of the other videos that have come out since then, there was a lot of pushback on the fact that they're removing this sort by oldest to newest feature, which I guess a lot of people like to use. And the comments here have spoken out against that. So I think they're still not committed necessarily to removing that and adding this content type sorting. Apparently, it's very expensive for them to keep the oldest to newest sorting. I'm not exactly sure why that's so expensive for them, but that's one reason why they're also delaying this. But it seems like they really want to push this, and I think at least having the new way to sort by content type would be really nice. So I hope that we at least get that and maybe get to keep the oldest to newest feature at the same time.
The main thing I want to point out from this, Ben, look at this guy's microphone USB cable in the top corner. That is dangerous. You can't be, that's like already at a 20 degree angle. You can see the amount of strain that's been put on it. I mean, that is poor microphone etiquette. I think that's an Audio Technica mic, isn't it? Is it the AT2020? I've not like actually it. Seen one in a while, but
yeah, I mean, the USB cable has seen better days. It's a couple more of these episodes and it might not be working anymore, it looks like.
Yeah, I mean, that is just a strange mounting solution, the upside down with the tight wire. Anyway, concentrating on what he's actually delivering in these like Tuesday updates that YouTube does. So you've covered the first one, which is the new content types. We also had a video specifically aimed at gaming creators, talking about some tips for how gaming creators can use shorts and, you know, what kind of content they should be putting in their shorts. I watched this through. It's kind of, well, from my point of view, it's kind of like the basics, you know, add subtitles so that people who are watching on mute can see what you're talking about, you know, cut out all the fluff, make sure that there's no big gaps in what you're saying. Don't ask for likes and subscribes until the end. You want the content to be delivered up front. So to me, it's like all the obvious things, but you know, I am a YouTube creator and both you and I are very involved in this space. So I guess this is more aimed at the everyday creator on YouTube that's starting to use shorts. So quite a useful video. Again, we'll leave it linked down in the show notes once we finish the live stream. And there was a couple more, right? Do you want to cover the search insights video? I think that's this third one. I mean, they all look very, there's not really much to show on screen because it's really just somebody talking to the camera and every so often a screenshot, but...
Yeah, it's a lot of just talking and it really could just be one big video almost. I'm glad they're actually making a lot of these and keeping us updated now. That's kind of cool. You can go back to this regularly and about every week there's a new video, which is at least good for our podcast. But yeah, for this feature, I think we talked before about the new Search Insights feature that's coming to the channel or coming to YouTube in general. It was just talked about before, but I believe they're actually now launching it. I think I had a date in here by the end of April, they said, which is in a couple days now. So you guys might have access to the new insights feature on your dashboard. In fact, Pete, I was curious if you had it. I checked last week and I didn't see it in mine, but have you seen anything on your side?
Yeah, I looked literally just before we went live. I still don't have anything. And they actually mentioned in this video that it's rolling out to United States, UK, Australia and India as well, I think first. But still, I still don't have anything over on this side. So maybe when they say end of April, they literally mean the very end of April. It's still not here for me, at least.
Yeah, it looks like some people in chat at least have access. Velocinator, I think I said that right, in chat, has it. Nice. So I guess it is rolling out. And yeah, by end of April, that's like 5 days. So hopefully we should all be able to test it out pretty soon. Reminds me of kind of what some third-party tools did before with looking up keywords and data and that sort of thing. So it'd be nice if YouTube has their own feature like that that we can use going forward, because that's pretty handy.
Let us know where you're from, Velocinator. I'd be interested to know if it's rolling out geographically first or if it's to do with subscriber count and things like that. Anything else in this video specifically? You've mentioned the removal of oldest to newest. I think they actually talked about that in this video, about how it's too expensive, basically, and that's why they're looking to remove it. They announced it a couple of weeks ago, and I think they had a lot of kickback, but they basically said that nobody uses it. Like, they actually have the data to see that nobody is using it. I quite like to do it just to go back to, like, the first ever video that people have created, see how far people have come in their YouTube journeys. If anybody wants to see really cringy content, go back to the Gaming Careers First uploads, where I'm about this far away from the camera and I've got no glasses and really wide eyes because the bright lights. it's bad. And I even had some kind of filmmaking experience before starting my YouTube channel. So, you know, there's classic examples of going back and looking at Marcus Brownlee's first video, where he's literally a child talking about a laptop remote or something. So that's the only reason I ever used it. But I guess it's like the amount of old videos that they have to resurface whenever somebody clicks on that button is quite a taxing process on their servers.
They said it was the least used of the sorting options, right? So, which makes sense. People probably look for the newest stuff versus the oldest. But still, like you said, it's nice to have that option if you want to go see someone's first ever video and see their journey that they've made, which you technically can still do with the newest to oldest. You just have to scroll all the way to the bottom, which could take a long time.
Yeah, when they said that, I was like, some people have thousands of videos. Like, that's literally a task to scroll back to that oldest video. But anyway, yeah, relatively minor. But as soon as a company ever removes a feature, you're going to get a vocal minority saying, I use that feature all the time, even if they actually don't. And one last video, I think, that was shared about the Shorts updates. So the Shorts shelf, which you might have seen on certain YouTube channels, they're now adding that also to the trending page. So you're going to get... a shelf of shorts that are trending, apparently based on location. So I guess wherever you're opening up your phone and looking at the trending page, the shorts that are going to be shown are the ones that are trending based on your location. And they've also added what is effectively like Instagram carousels to iOS. I think it was already a feature on Android, and you're the Android half of this relationship, Ben. So you've probably seen carousel images on YouTube posts before, but they've added that now to iOS as well. So if anybody wants to, you know, upload a carousel of up to 5 images, you can now do that from iOS as well. And I think that's it for YouTube. Yes. other than the interview that you wanted to cover. You've watched this, so you talked me through it.
Yeah. So kind of similarly on the YouTube vein, Ludwig did an interview with the CEO of YouTube. This was back a couple weeks back, I believe. And it was super interesting. It was like an hour long video. So I definitely recommend you go check it out if you want to, because it was very raw. Ludwig did not polish up this sort of for his usual content. It was really like, you know, he's cursing half the time and asking her really pointed questions about NFTs and dislikes and whether that they regret they signed him onto YouTube because he streamed on Twitch right after. But some interesting things I wanted to pull out from the video in particular that we've kind of touched on before. The first is dislikes removal. And he kind of point blank asked her what was going on there and what the feedback was. And she has like kind of a long response on it. But one thing that's people have suggested they should do for dislike is make it a toggle on and off for people. And she said that wouldn't work because people would just feel pressured to turn it on anyway. Like, you didn't have your dislikes enabled, then the community would just rally against you and ask why you didn't have your dislikes on. So it kind of achieves the same thing anyway. Just an interesting point, because it seems like they've spent a lot of time looking at this and different options. And that kind of shows in her response, I think, for that particular point. And the other thing that was interesting was NFTs, because we've touched on how YouTube has had rumors of NFTs before. And Susan was very, very much in support of NFTs. In fact, they joked about buying NFTs on there. But particularly for YouTube, because she thinks that it's better for YouTube to be the ones to verify NFTs for creators rather than have third-party sites do it themselves, which is kind of an interesting take. And Ludwig is very much completely against NFTs. I'm not exactly sure where I fall in that spectrum, and I'm not sure about you either, Pete, but just really interesting to see like, the big debate between them, because Ludwig is not just agreeing with her the whole time, right? He was pushing back pretty hard. So I would definitely recommend checking it out, and it'll be interesting to see if they do push NFTs on YouTube, because Susan is pretty gung-ho on it, it seems.
I was just fixing the spelling error that we had there. I had Ludwig in the topic title rather than Ludwig, which I can't let go without fixing it. But yeah, I haven't actually listened through this yet. It's been on my, like, I've downloaded it so I can listen to it as like a podcast, basically, when I next go out on a long run, because I'm super interested by it. I've heard a lot of people discussing that it's like a really honest and open interview, and Ludwig kind of doesn't hold back. And I think credit has to be given to Susan for going on. She obviously knew what she was going to get herself in. Well, she must have listened to the Yard podcast before and known that it was kind of, you know, open, and he was probably going to ask all kinds of testing questions. So I definitely want to give it a proper listen through, but appreciate your updates on it. And yeah, the NFT things, that's a bit of a turnoff for me currently, because I still haven't seen a good implementation of it. But maybe, who knows, yeah. YouTube could be the people that do that. But interesting to know that they also went through the dislikes. Again, we will link this down in the show notes once you've finished, or you can just go on Ludwig's YouTube channel if you want to watch it now, yeah, or after this pod.
And to your point, I think it's really great that Susan did this and went out there and as a public figure, right, went out there to represent YouTube, because we don't really have that still on Twitch, especially with DJ Wheat gone. I think there were some concerns about when Fwizz left on YouTube about losing that, but it seems like Susan is kind of stepping into that role more now. I've seen her on calls with creators too, like over Zoom to talk to them. So I'm really glad to see that at the front of YouTube, and I hope that we see more of that on Twitch and Facebook too, honestly.
So moving on from YouTube, there are a few Twitch updates this week as well, or over the past couple of weeks since we haven't done a show. The first one that we've got is just looking at these new DMCA warnings. You've linked an article here, Ben, of a streamer calling out Twitch after receiving DMCA warning during a silent stream. So there's obviously some issues with these warnings being sent out. They're all automated, and some people are getting them even when they're not playing any kind of music. So you've done some streaming on Twitch recently, Ben. Is this something you've experienced yourself, or just something that you've seen in the community?
Yeah, I have done a couple of streams since they added this. We talked about this, I believe, on the last podcast, Pete. But basically, they add a new copyright system where they'll send you an email and tell you if you have, I think, more than three instances of copyright music being detected. And they'll also automatically hide your VODs going forward. So even if you had those turned on for Twitch, now they'll all be hidden. So important to know. But I got this email, and it was for stream beats, for using stream beats. So obviously there's still some issues with it. It was like three stream beat songs that had detected this and then turned off the VODs. And then I guess in this article that we had here, some streamers are getting the notifications for no music at all, just for blank sound. So I guess there's still some kinks to work out there. Maybe it's some bad agents claiming copyright on stuff that's not actually copyright too. I'm guessing that's probably what happened with StreamBeats. But at least we have the system there. And once they iron out those kind of things, then again, I think it will be nice to know if you have stuff that's being flagged. And then they kind of, it's not a perfect solution, but they at least hide your VODs from being claimed and that sort of thing from brands in the meantime. Really, they should be doing more than that, but it's a step in the right direction.
Yeah, I mean, I've not really seen too much of this, so hopefully the kinks have been worked out already, but you can kind of expect there to be some issues. And like you said, it's probably likely to be some bad actors false claiming things. And Twitch has definitely worked on that side of things as well, making the process of countering any claims much easier as well. I think we discovered in last week's podcast. The other bit of Twitch news, I guess, is that there's been some community complaints about the misuse of tags. In particular, I think the bit that really went viral on Twitter was big streamers using the VTuber tag, even when they're not VTubers, and smaller VTubers feeling very hard done by this. I mean, this has existed for so long, like outside of the VTuber stuff. Even back when Just Chatting became a category and people were playing games in it because it was the highest viewed category. What can really be done on Twitch's side of streamers streaming in the wrong category or streamers, you know, using the wrong tags? Like, is it really their problem, or is it down to us as the people watching to be able to filter what is actually the right tag and the wrong tag?
I mean, I guess it depends on how seriously Twitch wants to take it, right? Because it's up to them to moderate this kind of thing if people are abusing the tag system. I think the reason that it got reported is people are worried that it's impacting discoverability and things like that if you're trying to find other VTuber or any tag out there, streamers in that category. My personal view is I don't even know how much these are getting used anyway. I don't really ever sort by tags besides just channel directories for games on Twitch. I'm curious, people here, if you actually go out and sort by a certain tag and look for stuff in that, I would love to hear from that. But yeah, it's just interesting that this is the one that gets picked. I guess a lot of big streamers are using that VTuber tag, and the actual VTubers are getting frustrated that it's not really being taken seriously at this point, which I understand if you're really trying to grow that community and that space on Twitch.
Yeah. There's a comment here from Stress saying that they sort by one tag, which is French, and you can 100% see the logic behind that. And if that became a very popular tag to sort by and people were falsely tagging, you know, that they're speaking French when they're actually speaking English, then that could be pretty annoying. But I just don't really know how Twitch can enforce it. You know, back when they introduced the hot tubs category and then they were forcefully moving people from Just Chatting into that category. Can you remember when that was happening?
Yep.
That's understandable because it was like very much in the media, in the news, this whole new hot tub meta streaming on Twitch. So they probably could dedicate some time for people moving people into the right category. But tags is like a whole tier below that. It's literally, you know, meant to be little tidbits of information about your stream, and it would just be impossible for Twitch to be able to do that. Maybe they can do it on the bigger streamers, which is obviously where the complaints are coming from here, but it's worth covering anyway. And like I like to see the opinions. We've got another one here. NumIRL says that they use tags pretty regularly, so there are clearly users using it, and maybe Twitch needs to look into a system for striking or giving warnings for people that are constantly misusing it in some way to gain some kind of audience that they wouldn't normally have.
Yeah, I think to your point, they could probably just do some of the bigger streamers who are abusing it, like the top 1% really, because I can't imagine they have the resources to go through and monitor all these streams and you know, try and make sure they're in the right categories. With however you judge, a lot of those things are subjective anyway. But at least if you start with some of the bigger people, then those are probably the ones that offend the community the most anyway. And it might also be an example to people below. But I also wonder what you would do to penalize them. Like, it doesn't feel like it's worth a ban, right? Just doing that, just using the wrong tag. I don't know, maybe like a timeout or something. Or it's weird. It's a weird area of moderation, in my opinion. But maybe if they're really abusing it, then it does need like a one-day ban or something.
Let's move on to last, I think, Twitch update that we've seen, which our friend Zach discovered. Effectively, there are now some new gift sub badges for the number of gifted subs that you've given. I think in total there's 12. I think there's 11 shown here, and then there was also one for 150 or 250, which was originally talked about, and then when these were announced, he tweeted about these as well. So, I mean, I can't say I've gifted anywhere near this many subs, so I'm a long way off getting one of these badges, but there are certain members of the community who spend a hell of a lot of money gifting subs, so now they're going to have some kind of pixels next to their name whenever they do so.
Yeah, this one's interesting. It's just crazy that they're really focusing on the monetization features with updates. I think they're also adding an emote badge or something, but that's been a year in the works. I'm talking about that last year, Pete, and they haven't done it yet. Whereas these have been pushed through pretty quickly for this updated sub gifters. So again, I think it shows you kind of where the priorities are. I haven't ever seen someone that would have a 5K badge, but I'm sure some people here probably have. I mean, it is nice, I guess, to reward people, but also again, it's just interesting that that's something that gets focused on for Twitch, I'd have to say.
Yeah, I mean, 5K gifted subs. You know, we mentioned previously on this pod about how Pokimane specifically asked to limit the number of gifted subs that people could do through her chat, and how that was an interesting discussion with Twitch. 5,000 gifted subs is a crazy number, but there will be people on the platform that will have done that. Absolutely. Twitch wouldn't have made the badge unless there was people doing that.
Yep.
So let's move on to talking about our main topic, the Twitter updates first, because even though Elon is the big discussion point, there are actually a couple of Twitter updates as well. The first of which being a new way now to be able to unmention yourself from a tweet. So if you've been tagged in a tweet, maybe it's hateful, maybe it's just something you don't want to be associated with, they're Twitter experimenting with a way of being able to unmention yourself from the tweet, which effectively removes like the blue hyperlinked link part. So it still has if you were to do to tag me in a tweet and I was to unmention it, it would still say at Gaming Careers in your tweet, but people couldn't click on that to then go to my profile and I would stop receiving notifications about it. I can see why this is important, because I mean, thankfully, I don't receive much hate on Twitter, but certainly bigger creators, bigger famous celebrities will be receiving countless amounts of hate. And sometimes you just don't want to be notified of that. And maybe there's an argument that Twitter should just be doing more to prevent the hateful side of Twitter that is going on. But this is a nice option, I think, for people that don't want to be mentioned in certain things. Can you see any problems with this? Any reasons why this might be abused?
Well, first of all, I have to say that we have a couple of Twitter platform updates on here today, but I they're kind of up in the air with today's news from Elon. So while this was planned to come out, I don't know if it's actually live yet, Pete. I don't think it is, but maybe it is.
It says available on web for some of you now.
Okay, yeah. So it's kind of rolling out. So presumably it's still going to roll out. So I'll talk about it in that aspect. I think it's a good feature to have. They have the whole don't at me in the tweet, which is kind of funny because that's exactly what it is, basically. I do think for people who are getting a lot of ads, it's probably pretty manual to go through and unmention yourself in all of those if that's your concern. But it is nice to at least remove yourself from a thread if there's something that you don't want to see in there. Just gives you more options basically on there. But yeah, I'm curious how Elon's takeover affects all this stuff that's on the roadmap that we were planning to talk about today.
Yeah, well, let's just get into the news then. So literally a few hours ago before we went live, more and more news outlets were basically reporting that the bid of 43 billion or 45 billion, I've seen multiple numbers, but they're all 40 something billion, like an obscene amount of money, has been accepted. And it's looking very likely now, I think maybe even confirmed as we're now live, that Twitter has accepted Elon Musk's bid. I'm sure I don't need to explain who Elon Musk is, because you know, you're watching this live stream or listening to this podcast, so you've obviously been on the internet before. But let's just dive straight into it. What are your thoughts straight up, Ben, when you saw this? Is this excitement? Is this, oh God, all those years wasted on Twitter, now I have to delete my account? Is this free speech, or is it going to be completely controlled? What are your thoughts? There's so much to uncover, I think, yeah.
I'm finally free of Twitter. No, I did not have a super strong response to this. I'm just curious to see what's going to happen, to be honest with you. And I've seen some people on both sides, honestly. And I'd love to hear from chat what you guys think too. People will think this is the best thing ever, and they're very excited about what he's going to do. Other people think Twitter is ruined, and it's there's even Verge articles out there on how to delete the Twitter app and things like that already in the first half hour of this being announced. So it's really interesting. Obviously, no one really knows what's going to happen yet. It's all speculation at this point. It's just kind of amazing that this actually happened, because I think it's been in the works for a week and a half now, because he put in the initial offer for that crazy $45 billion or whatever on the April 14th. And it seems like it was not actually going to be accepted. This was after he bought the stock initially. But then, yeah, literally an hour or two ago, we just got the news that it's actually been accepted. So we'll see what that ends up meaning. Pete, what did you think when you first saw this break today?
Well, my first thought was, oh, now I need to remake the thumbnail for our podcast, because we need to discuss this. And it's probably more interesting to most people than the YouTube updates. But yeah, like you said, there's been rumors about it. He's obviously wanted to do it for a little while. We've even got some tweets that we can pull up in a sec of things that he's mentioned sort of over the past year that have annoyed him about Twitter, because that may be the things that he wants to change. But yeah, there's definitely been split opinions, and I can completely understand the people that are against it, because Elon Musk is not like a reserved personality. He is somebody that is very open about how he feels and what he thinks. And if you look at the Tesla stock price and how it jumps and falls basically based on what Elon Musk tweeted that day, you'll know that this could be the worst thing for Twitter. But it's also in some ways nice for something fresh to come in and hopefully see a load of improvement, because Twitter, although it has seen minor improvements, has probably been the platform that has remained the same the most over the past four or five years. Which is nice. Like, a lot of people love it for its simplicity and the limit on characters and things like that. But I wonder if Elon's going to go after... this is his first big social media platform, right? Is he going to go... He's always arguing with Bill Gates and Jeff Bezos. Is he going to turn Twitter into the Twitch competitor? Honestly, we don't know, because this is going to be a completely new direction. So yeah, I mean, I'm still keen to read a lot of opinions about this on from chat. We've also got a couple of tweets to bring up. This is literally a few minutes before we went live. Elon tweeted an image from what looks to be like an interview that is featured somewhere. So he's quoted saying, "Free speech is the bedrock of the functioning democracy, and Twitter is the digital town square where matters vital to the future of humanity are debated." So he is really pushing free speech. And I think a lot of people's concerns are probably that, you know, if Elon now owns Twitter, what is going to be allowed, what's not going to be allowed. You know, you're not going to be able to hate on Tesla or any of his projects, or you'll get auto moderated. He's really pushed the counter to that he wants it to be completely open. He wants all of his haters to be on Twitter. He wants it to be completely free speech. There's a lot of talk about, you know, Donald Trump and how that whole thing was handled last year. And how it might be different now that Elon owns Twitter. He's even, I'm going to pull up one of his tweets, and I hope I get the right one here. Yeah, so this was from earlier this year, about a month ago, Elon talking about the Twitter algorithm, like what actually works out what tweets are shown to you when you open up the app or open up the website. And he wants that to be open source. He wants that code to be visible so that everybody can understand that it's not him pushing any kind of agenda or anyone at the company pushing any kind of agenda. He's done the same thing, I think, with Tesla. Like, he's made all the patents available for people that want to use the technology. So he, as far as what he's saying, it makes it sound like he wants this to be very open, and he doesn't want it to be about him owning it at all. He just wants a really great platform for free speech. But what he says and what actually ends up happening could be completely different, Ben. I'm just reading out what he said, and well, he's just trying to put a good PR spin on some negativity, I imagine.
Right. Yeah. The only thing that's actually come out since is this tweet that you showed here, where it's really, I think he's just showing an article quote. So he didn't even necessarily make this statement. He was just showing this quote here. So I think it's all still pretty much speculation to see what he does. Obviously, we're an hour or two out from the announcement, and so nothing has been locked in as to what's actually happening yet. I wonder, like, how the takeover will happen and how it will all change. I think even the chat here, I've seen very mixed opinions on this. Some people saying it's really good for small content creators. Some saying that Twitter is toxic and will get more toxic now. So it's just interesting how polarizing this topic is. Personally, I use Twitter, I think, maybe the most of any platform besides Reddit. I think that's why we talk about it today, Pete, is it's really tied into gaming, I've found, for whatever reason, and streaming. Even though it's not, you know, you're not gaming on the platform, for some reason, it's very important to this space. I use it a lot, but at the same time, if Twitter ends up going down the hole and I can't use it anymore, then I feel like it wouldn't be sad. It's so weird to describe because I've had bad experiences on Twitter, but I also use it a lot, and it's important for news. So it's just a weird platform. And I'm interested to see what he does with it, honestly, because if he does go down the free speech direction that he's been pushing, we'll see what that means for people who've been off the platform before, who might come back to it, if that's a thing. But again, I think that's all rumors at this point. So we have to see what he really comes out with.
One thing I do think is that as soon as there's a name at the top of a company, like people have somebody to complain to. And almost, I know Jack Dorsey used to be the owner, and he's since left. But people wouldn't complain, I don't think, directly to him about the experience. Whereas now, any changes that get made, people are going to say it was Elon's decision. So, I mean, he's going to need to use that "unmention me from comments, don't at me" feature all the time, I'd imagine.
A lot. Yeah.
But yeah, I've seen the same in chat. Definitely some split opinions. One thing that was quite interesting, and they said that this wasn't to do with the timing at all, but again, earlier this month, he tweeted out, "Do you want an edit button?" And 4.4 million people voted. And kind of the funny thing that he did here, I'm sure on purpose, was he spelled yes wrong, as in like he would love to have been able to edit that to be yes rather than Y-S-E. But anyway, literally a few days later, Twitter tweeted out that they were testing an edit tweet button, starting with Twitter Blue. Hopefully it comes out to everybody. It's not behind a paywall. But anyway, you're already starting to see maybe like the influence of Elon Musk even before he had officially bought the platform. I don't know if I'm that particular about an edit button. I know there are some super heavy hitting opinions. MKBHD has literally been talking about it for years now. I just read my tweets, but I guess some people speed read their tweets and still make a mistake. But yeah, it would be nice to be able to preview tweets and if they think about how they can make sure that editing tweets is nicely done, not abused in any way, then that's awesome. But I really hope that Elon puts a lot of money and investment into Twitter. And, you know, I honestly don't think it's out of this world for it to have live streams, podcasts, all those kind of things. And he builds it into a bit more of a fully fledged platform. But kind of similar to you, Ben, I use it every single day. It's probably my biggest social media outside of YouTube, but it's the one that I use the most. It's best for getting news, best for contacting people, best for seeing what's going on in any kind of niche or industry that you have an interest in. Whereas I don't really feel like Instagram, TikTok, or any of the others do such a good job. And I know that's probably just to do with the niche that we're in and gaming being such a big part of Twitter. Because, you know, I'm sure fitness models don't use Twitter as much as they use Instagram. But for me, I think I would be a bit, I would definitely be sad. There'd definitely be a missing platform if he, you know, runs it into the ground in some way. So fingers crossed, he spends a lot of money, hires the right kind of people, and keeps building the platform in some kind of way. But we'll definitely be following it with updates. What are you seeing in chat, Ben? Are you seeing any major opinions that we want to pull out?
It's tough here. I think, again, it's very polarizing. I think we've gotten a good bit of back and forth here from the chat so far. Seems like it's pretty popular overall in terms of an app for this group as well. They're saying outside of Twitch, Alarmore saying it's my most used outside of Twitch, which I think is fair. One thing that's interesting too is that we've talked about this before. I don't see a lot of people who make their living off of Twitter for the most part. It's kind of like a supplemental platform. Like if Elon Musk had announced he was taking over Twitch or YouTube or something, I would be much more concerned because there's so many people who depend on that for their living at this point versus Twitter. Obviously, Twitter is still very important and used a lot, but I don't think it's going to like ruin somebody's life the same way if something goes wrong. So it's just super interesting. But yeah, if you guys have more opinions in chat, definitely let us know what you think about this takeover.
Yeah, that we've made today. One thing that we've said in the past, haven't we, is about putting your eggs in one basket. And what you said there is kind of true. You couldn't really have put all of your eggs in the Twitter basket because there's not much money being made off Twitter. There is like some ways to tip your favorite people that tweet and things like that, but it's not like the same conversation as Mixer when Mixer went down. and people had all their eggs in that basket, all their followers, all their subscriptions, all their money was coming from that single platform. And then when it goes down, you're straight out of luck. So yeah, it's an interesting one. I'm hopeful, but I'm also, I kind of approach most of Elon's stuff at arm's reach. I see it from the distance and enjoy the memes, but also a bit wary that somebody so opinionated is now controlling such a major part of the internet's traffic, basically.
Yeah, that's the thing that makes it tough too, is, I mean, he's really become a Twitter fiend over the past year, I'd say. And it's hard to tell which of the things he's tweeting he's serious about versus which are memes. I mean, half the things he posts are memes at this point, it seems. And some of the things are about Twitter. Like, he's talked about turning the Twitter HQ into a homeless shelter and a lot of other crazy things. And so it's unclear whether he actually plans to do something about that now that he owns Twitter, or if that was just sort of a joke and he will do something else to support that community. I think that's why people are concerned, because if you take everything he says at face value, it would be crazy, I think, all the changes that are coming. But I feel like some of them are probably not really meant the full way. So we just have to see where it lands. I'm sure in the next couple of days, we'll have a lot of stuff come out about this. It's funny how in chat, a lot of people haven't even seen this yet because it literally just broke. So the reaction from people is always going to be crazy to see as that continues to come out.
I really agree with something that I've just seen in chat. Noob IRL says, Twitter is a networking tool that allows you to make money literally everywhere else. And that is so true in terms of the amount of contacts that I will have made through Twitter, brands reaching out or sponsors checking out the kind of content that I produce, that then because of Twitter and because of being able to have that open conversation or them reach out to me through DMs, all that collaboration is facilitated through Twitter. Whereas you don't really think of Twitter as a moneymaker, as a content creator. It helps facilitate that, gets things out of emails, and really allows you to have a place to show what you're doing on all the different places on the internet from your Twitter. You know, they've never really restricted linking out to things in the same way that YouTube or Twitch have. You know, used to be able to do all kinds of cool integrations between Twitch and YouTube before they realized that they were competitors, and then they removed all of those features. So it's kind of nice having Twitter be the one where you could link out to all the other things that you did. And it was kind of like Elon has said, free speech. You know, there's certainly people promoting their OnlyFans and things like that on Twitter, and you can't really do that on Twitch anymore. So really interesting. But the conversation is so new that I feel like a lot of opinions are going to be coming out over the next coming days, and maybe I haven't thought about something. Let me just take that off the screen. But yeah, the only other thing that I've seen in terms of Elon tweeting about things is that he wants to make it much harder for bots to spam and make it so that all humans have to authenticate in some way, which there's definitely here in the UK, there's been a big push for all humans having to authenticate, because there's such a problem with, you know, footballers when they don't perform well in a football game getting racially abused for hours on end, and there's no repercussions for the people who make these Twitter accounts to just basically spread hate. So there's been a big push in Parliament and government to have some kind of authentication to be able to have a social media profile. So I don't know if Elon will go that far. It's obviously a massive task with Twitter being so global, but I think everyone can agree that less bots and some kind of authentication would generally be a good thing. If you don't know about Twitter bots, all you have to do is tweet out something about graphic design, and I guarantee you'll have like 10 to 15 messages in your inbox from graphic designers wanting to work with you, because they just have bots like scanning for tweets that mention graphic design or need new stream overlays or something like that. There's bots searching for that kind of thing. So yeah, it's a real problem and something that Elon obviously wants to fix as well.
Yeah,
but that's about it for the tweets that I've seen anyway, Ben, in terms of what we can pull out that he might want to work on straight away if this bid does go through, which it looks like it has.
Yeah, I mean, it has at this point, but again, we'll see. He makes a lot of blanket statements on here, so again, it depends on if those are actually going to be delivered the way that he said, or if they were just something he said before he actually owned the platform, and now that he owns it, things might be a little bit different. So we'll see. But I think we can all agree that we could use less bots, not only on Twitter, but on YouTube and Twitch and all these other platforms that are plagued by this. I think especially Twitter and YouTube are the worst. We see with like the verified accounts somehow. Even looking at Elon's announcement tweet here, there's like three verified Elon Musk accounts that aren't him below tweeting about Bitcoin and things. So yeah, that stuff could definitely be a lot better.
Let's wrap up the pod just by talking about some new content that both of us have produced. I'll go first, if you don't mind, Ben. So new video out, I think it was out almost 2 weeks ago now, but we haven't done a pod since. I did a review of Elgato's new capture card, the HD60X. So yeah, if you want to check that out, I'll leave that link down in the description. Ben, do you want to talk about your new video? About a couple of people in the YouTube strategy world.
Yeah, this one just came out today. Basically, it was just a quick video talking about how Ludwig and Asmongold do their videos. It's on Ludwig's second channel, but how they literally just talk to a camera for 20 minutes about something and that's it. There's no editing or anything. I just thought that was super cool and something I want to try doing on my YouTube because I've had a tough time getting started. So it was kind of a talk through of that. But yeah, trying to get back into making more videos, trying to keep up with Pete here. We got to both be YouTubers to an extent, but Pete, did you, on the HD60X, have you tested any more since the video or anything? Anything else come out since you put it out?
No, because in all honesty, I don't own a next gen console. So I had to borrow the PlayStation 5 from one of my moderators who just so happens to live only about 30 minutes away from me. And I couldn't even tell him what I was borrowing it for because it was all under NDA. So I just asked him, can I borrow your PS5 for a week and then bring it back to you? And he very gratefully let me. So I was really impressed by it. I mean, there are definitely some things I would like to see improved, but on the most part, it's probably my favorite external capture card. Elgato just doing what they do well, making a really sleek, well-designed product that works very well. The other thing that I mentioned in my video is I couldn't really test as many resolutions and frame rates as I wanted to because the main monitor that I use is like a 1440p IPS G-Sync panel that runs at 240 hertz, and the HD60X like supports up to 120 hertz at 1440p, so I couldn't really test above that, or 1080p at 360 hertz or something like that. There was like a combination that basically meant that I couldn't get the closest one-to-one level of testing, and also like it's a G-Sync display and they only support AMD FreeSync. So anyway, we're getting a bit too technical. If you want to check out my review of that capture card, it's only 6 or 7 minutes long. I think it's worth a watch. And if you want to watch Ben's new video about some YouTubers, how they're making their videos, check out his video. I haven't watched it yet, Ben. I will watch it probably tomorrow because it's getting quite late here. But I promise to you, I promise you, I will watch it. I've got the subscriptions on. I've got the bells activated. You know, I've done all the steps that you've asked me to do. I just haven't watched it.
It wasn't enough despite all that.
Elon's been on my back, you know, tweeting me all these kind of things. It's just getting pulled in too many directions, you see. But I will definitely give it a watch. So that's probably going to do it. Thanks everybody for joining and sharing your opinions. Keep tagging me in things that you see, and tagging Ben as well in things that you see about this new news that's broken about Elon. I want to hear more opinions and educate myself as to what people think it will mean. And obviously we'll all experience it together. You know, will it be the downfall? Will it all burn? And we'll see a competitor rise up. You know, maybe the battle between these billionaires, maybe we'll see Bezos start a Twitter competitor just to be able to battle directly with Elon Musk and his new Twitter. Maybe we'll see a new logo, all those kind of things. I doubt it, but you know, you never know.
It could be. Yeah, and Theo in chat asked, you know, what are Elon's plans for Twitter? Again, we don't know yet. So I'm sure, Pete, by next week we'll have actual, something's going to come out, I think, because there's so much attention on this about what he actually plans to do and what the transition will look like. So I'm sure we'll have more to talk about next week once some real info comes out, not just speculation.
Totally agree. Right, let's wrap it up. Thanks so much for watching, guys. We'll see you next week. Peace.
See ya.